Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
EU says PU to Microsoft.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. A day late and $1.3 billion short. Microsoft's recent announcement that it was going to let anyone who wants to look at its code for free didn't impress the European Union. Today, the EU slapped the fine on Microsoft for not complying with earlier rulings to open up to competition. Marketplace's European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard says it's the first time the EU has punished a company for such defiance.
This is the penalty for Microsoft defying an earlier ruling by the European Commission. This fine, $1.35 billion, comes on top of two earlier fines, bringing a grand total now of $2.5 billion. That's by far the biggest corporate fine in European history.
And what does that mean? So what does it mean that they're fining all this money to Microsoft? Does it mean anything?
Well, it does, because it means that in spite of last week's declaration by Microsoft that it's coming clean, that it's heading down towards the eventual ultimate goal of a more open source frame of mind, in spite of that and its pledge that it is going to make its products more accessible to its rivals, the European Commission has said that doesn't wash with us. We want to see some specific action from Microsoft. We want to see this ruling of March 2004, which actually related to software for small work groups, so things like printers. We want to see Microsoft complying with that ruling. They haven't, and therefore we're sticking this gigantic fine on them.
That's Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Meanwhile, Microsoft's got another problem. Its free email program, Hotmail, was down for tens of millions of customers on Tuesday. Service is still interrupted, but not as widespread. Wall Street's waiting to read between the lines when Fed Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke gives his economic report card to Congress today. Right now, the markets are reacting to the news that orders for big-ticket items plunged to their lowest level in 5 months. The Dow is down 40 to 12,646. The Nasdaq's down 8 to 2,337. And the S&P is down 4 to 1,377. The euro hit a record high, $1.51. Some have blamed the rising value of the euro on the fact that in France, prices of everyday household items are going through the roof. From Marseille, René Goutel reports there's another culprit.
It's called price fixing. This morning, the newspaper Le Figaro reports that nine makers of consumer products are suspected of colluding to keep prices high. Both European and U.S. companies are under scrutiny, including Procter & Gamble, Colgate-Palmolive, SC Johnson, Sara Lee, and Unilever. This scandal includes the most common product labels, including the kinds of household cleaning products you might find under any French sink. Le Figaro says France's Competition Council opened an investigation into the matter 3 years ago. If the companies are found guilty, they could face billions of euros in fines, up to 10% of their annual revenue. How do you say ouch in French? In Marseille, I'm René Gattel for Marketplace.
Here's a retirement party that looks like fun. The master distiller for Jack Daniel's is about to step down. Jimmy Bedford is the whiskey's sixth master distiller since the brand was registered in 1866. He'll retire at the end of March after 40 years with the company. Last year, sales of Jack neared nearly 9.5 million cases. You are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, February 27th from marketplace.org. Later this morning, we'll get the numbers on new home sales for January. It's likely we'll see more evidence of a building industry still in the dumps. Just a year ago, this business was a gold mine, especially for Latino construction workers. Two out of every three new construction jobs were filled by Hispanics. Cities like Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Miami became meccas for tens of thousands of recently arrived immigrants. How are they biding their time these days? From the America's Desk at WLRN in Miami, we sent Marketplace's Dan Gretsch to find out.
At its height, the construction industry employed one in four Hispanic workers. That's 3 million people with well-paying jobs. 3 million families that could, for perhaps the first time, aspire to some middle-class comforts. What a difference a year makes. Rakesh Kocher is a researcher with the Pew Hispanic Center.
The construction sector went from being a leading contributor to employment growth to a leading source of unemployment. Whatever gains they had appear to have been wiped away in the space of this past year.
Homestead is a sprawling bedroom community near Miami. When the economy was healthy, Homestead was the fastest growing city of its size in the nation and a magnet for Hispanic laborers. Now it's a way station for ex-construction workers like Tomas Diaz.
Lo mío, mi trabajo es construcción.
Diaz laid floors and built roofs for $14 an hour, enough to get married and start a family. Now he cuts lawns for $8 an hour.
I don't know what to do with all these bills that keep coming month after month. You start to think, do I pay this bill or do I buy food?
Many ex-construction workers in Homestead have turned to farm work. Others are day laborers or landscapers. Hector Salas manages a rundown apartment building. He spent a recent morning trying to salvage some old electric coil ovens. The building once teemed with workers. Now it's almost empty. Jonathan Freed runs We Count, a Homestead community organization.
People need to move to survive, and if they don't find work here, they're going to move elsewhere.
Pew's Rakesh Kocher says some Hispanics are getting a new start.
One small surprise is the growth of Hispanic employment in education and health services, more white-collar work.
Kocher says Hispanics often work the lowest-paying jobs in those industries. Still, there are opportunities to move up. In Homestead, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
A delegation from the U.S. Treasury Department met recently with a couple of the world's largest sovereign wealth funds as more foreign investment makes its way into the U.S. economy. Marketplace commentator Robert Reich says these investments from abroad are nothing more than bailouts.
Over the past 30 years, the U.S. government has dismantled the system of regulation intended to prevent the sort of wild speculation that preceded the financial meltdown of the Great Depression. Now we're witnessing another financial meltdown, also fueled by speculation, hopefully not as serious. Yet instead of regulating banks and other financial institutions, the response this time is for government to own them. Just last week, the British government decided to take over the troubled mortgage lender Northern Rock. This was after the Bank of England was forced to give the firm emergency funding to avoid a run on the bank. Well, you might say that's Europe. They've been nationalizing companies for years. But the same trend is happening in the United States. The difference is here, it's governments from Asia and the Middle East that are doing the owning. Singapore recently paid $4.4 billion for an ownership stake in Merrill Lynch. The Chinese bought a $5 billion piece of Morgan Stanley. As their balance sheets continue to weaken, America's big financial houses are getting bailed out by selling out. It's only logical. American banks need the cash, and oil-producing and East Asian governments have it. Yet there's no end in sight for the credit crisis, and Middle Eastern and East Asian sovereign wealth funds are in the process of owning a larger and larger portion of the global banking system. These funds are growing by more than $1 trillion a year, and at this rate, they'll be the global banking system. The problem is, governments are lousy at deciding where profits can be found. They're liable to make decisions based on politics rather than profits. So it's the biggest irony in financial history. Decades of U.S. government deregulation of Wall Street has reaped a whirlwind of irresponsible speculation, ending in a financial meltdown that's being remedied by government ownership, with all the strings that come with it. And it's not even our government that's holding the strings.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His latest book is Super Capitalism. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day. American Public Media.
world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.